Derek Sanderson is with us. Sir. They called him the Turk, and we're talking about his book, Crossing the Line, The Outrageous Story of a Hockey Original. How would you describe Boston as a hockey town?
Oh, it's a great hockey town. Wow. They went nuts. Boston's a great sports town. And Boston, the Red Sox had just won the pennant in 67. We came to town. Bobby had already been there. We made the playoffs for the first time, and people were really going hockey crazy. And then we won the cup in 70, and then we win it again in 72, and people are just off the charts, enthusiastic. It was television for the first time, and so you got to watch it on TV. And it was just an era. It was a time. It's a college town predominantly, and a lot of young people with a lot of energy. And you went out, and I own four nightclubs. I was partners with Joe Namath and the Bachelors 3, so that got me started down that garden path. When you own your own pub, you end up drinking more than you should, and boom.
Yeah, I've talked to Joe. I've known Joe for a long time.
Good guy.
You're right. But you win those two Stanley Cup championships, and I loved your quote when you were asked what winning the Stanley Cup meant to you.
You said,
the difference in the money is whether I take a college chick to Cape Cod or a playmate to France.
Right. I thought it was kind of an original.
It was.
It was about $3,000 difference, and I said, yeah.
When you look at those championship teams, tell me what the essence of their success was.
We were all for one another. We built a room. We built a room. If you were good enough to be one of us, then you were good enough to be protected by all of us. And it was nobody. You couldn't hit anybody on our team. We had to just gang up on you. That's why they put in the third man in rule. And we defended each other, cleared the benches, you hit our goaltenders. It's all that. That was all that fun stuff. They took it out. Bettman's got basketball on ice now. You know, if they give 2 points for a goal, you're going to have basketball on ice. You're not allowed to hit anymore. You're not allowed to do anything. So in our day, we hit. And, you know, we hit. We respected our opponents. We hit them hard, but, you know, we didn't go after the head. But no one understands why that happens. Where all these concussions are coming from. It's right in front of you, and people will not understand it. It's the helmets and the cages. Why don't you see that? I watched the Versus channel on television one night, six NHLers, all good guys, and discussed concussions. And there wasn't those concussions before you get the helmet. I never had my head down. If my head was down, my eyes were up. These kids learn to play at 5 years old. They put on frozen water, balanced on a 16th inch of steel, 3 inches off of that water. You put an extremity like a helmet in a cage on a kid that weighs 35 pounds, and where does his head go? Boom, falls straight down. His neck's too little to hold it up. And where does he learn? He learns how to handle the puck, staring at it, and his head is down. Watch everybody in the NHL today come out of the end zone, head down.
What was the story behind you jumping to the WHA?
Well, I tell you what, it wasn't a big story at all. It was, they asked me, Johnny McKenzie was my roommate. He came over the house and he said, I got to move in. I said, all right, fine. So he ended up player coach at Philadelphia. And Bobby Hull was stopped, and the WHA was stopped by a Judge Higginbottom in Philadelphia. And the WHA knew I knew a gentleman, Sonny McDonough, who's chairman of the Governor's Council and appointed Supreme Court Justice, and he told me to get the venue changed from Philadelphia to Boston, to Suffolk County. And I just listened to him, court case, boom, done. And he offered me $2,650,000. And I was making $35,000. I think I'm taking the money. But I didn't want to take the money, and no one knew that until I wrote it in the book. I tried to turn it down, and the Bruins made a serious mistake. And I jumped.
When things did not work out for you because of either injuries or the alcohol and drug problems that you had, how hard was it for you to deal with not being able to play the game at a level that won championships?
Well, I tell you, I missed the Bruins. I went to the play with the Rangers, and I didn't like it there. I liked the fans. Fans are great. But then I got traded to St. Louis, and I had my best season ever in St. Louis. I quit drinking, slowed down, went hung out with Chuck Lefley. Chuck Lefley, one of the greatest players I ever played with. And he got 47 that year, 45 goals that year, and he went from a career high of 11. And we just got along great, had a lot of fun, and we hung out together. And then Emil Francis came from New York and knew the condition and with the colitis, and he said, okay, that's it. When he traded me to Vancouver.
I do know that when I talked to you the last time, which was a number of years ago, we talked about the experiences you had living underneath the bridge in Central Park and what that was like. Was that the low moment? Was that what was the thing that, that set you,
you
on
know,
the right
everybody,
path?
Everybody, because there's two types of people in the world, us and straight people. And, you know, everybody wants to know what that low was so they can say, okay, I didn't go there, so I don't have one. Every day is a low. Every hour is a low. You know you can't quit drinking, and you can't stop. And how do you, and you know that expression, where does the love of God go when he turns minutes to hours? And you would think you just had the six, seven roughest hours of your life, and it was 3 minutes. It is, you dream, you have nightmares. I don't know who ever saw the pink elephants, but all of mine were horrific nightmares. And it's a long 72 hours. But after that, you're clean. Now you got to get sober. And that is the process that one has to go through. Everybody's straight in 72 hours.
You once said...
Body doesn't hold the drugs. And then when I was going bad, I had no money. I didn't know who to go to. I can't walk. I was really tired. And so I went and I laid down on a park bench. And I was draining out, and I put the paper over me. And an old-timer come by, and he says, no, put one on the bottom side, too. Keep both sides dry. I said, there's no way to live out here. He said, yep. If you got brains, you go find a bridge by 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock before it gets dark. Then you're out of the wind and out of the wet. And then I started living in bridges.
You once said that I have no doubt that I should be dead or in jail. Thank God I'm neither. How close
oh,
did
yeah.
you...
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff that I... What the lawyers took out of the book. And some still probably punishable, but... I never did anything sober. I did some crazy things drunk. I certainly should be in jail, and that's the grace of God. And I could very well be dead. But that's the risk you run. When you're out there and you're running hard and, you know, you're chasing the dragon, it's just it's a chore to stay alive. And you meet some bad people, boy. And, you know, you either got to be tougher or quicker or smarter. But God protects drunks and fools, I guess.
One thing I remember is you made a lot of money, and you were always free spending with it, both on yourself and on others. I mean, you used to buy clothes, did you, and wear them one time and then just not wear them again?
Oh, yeah, I used to do all that. That kind of started with my manager in Daisy Buchanan's. He had never been on vacation. I said, come on, we'll go to Hawaii. And I said, there's four or five girls sitting there. I said, you girls want to go to Hawaii? Yeah, yeah. So everybody got on the plane, we flew to Hawaii, and I bought golf clubs there. Armin had never played, so, you know, shoes and clubs and gloves and balls, and we all went out and played, probably six or seven holes, and then we went in to the parking lot, and the kid comes over and says, Mr. Sanderson, you probably forgot, but you didn't pay me. I said, oh, no, keep the clubs. Clubs are yours. Not a problem. I was so embarrassed I didn't tip the kid. I said, keep the clubs. Armin says, mine too. I said, yeah. We'll get another set tomorrow. And, you know, I took five girls, myself and Armin, for a month. And that costs a lot of money.
We got about 90 seconds left. But, Derek, when you think back on your life and your life story and everything, is there a lesson for just about everybody or anybody in your life story?
Yeah. I think if people understand, quit trying to control people, places, and things. You can't do it. Like yourself and be yourself. Then you don't have to worry about lying, manipulating, or any of the nonsense. Just be yourself. And believe me, there is a God out there, whatever denomination you want to pick. I just know there is one. And it's how you meet that, that power and that strength. And once you get that, you're fine.
In about 40 seconds, what do you want people to take away from the book?
I think I want them to see that there is hope. I talked to a lot of people. I did lectures for probably 800,000 kids in from 6th grade to 12th in college. I did a lot of lecturing for 11 years, and just that they can get they can get off the stuff. You don't have to start it, and then once you're on it, you can get off it. You don't have to commit crimes and do things. Just get off it. Go and go to AA and get yourself sober. I mean, it just, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it does not have to be a train.
Well, Derek, I want to thank you. I go all the way back to your playing days when I was a sportscaster in Boston as well. I remember you well on the ice, and you were very interesting off the ice as well. But you're right. It was a lot of fun. Thank you very much, and good luck with this book.
Nice talking to you, Ron. Thank you.
Derek Sanderson with us. And again, the name of this book is called Crossing the Line, The Outrageous Story of a Hockey Original. And he played 11 years of pro hockey, and in the NHL, he was with Boston, where he won a Stanley Cup not once but twice. He was the Rookie of the Year. Also went on to play for the Rangers, St. Louis, and Vancouver. And a very interesting man and a very interesting story. We've got you on Sports Byline.